ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् स्पृशावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः। इन्द्वैत सृष्टिप्रकरणम् द डिफरेन्स् बिट्वीन् ईश्वर सृष्टिः अण्ड् जीव सृष्टिः इस् डिस्कस्ड्। पर्सीविङ्ग् एनी आब्जेक्ट् आज् इट् ईस् औट् सैड् डस् नाट् रिसल्ट् इन् एक्स्पीरियन्स् आफ् पेन् आर् प्लेशर्। द एण्टैर् वर्ल्ड् आफ् आब्जेक्ट्स् is not a source of happiness, nor is it responsible for our unhappiness. Any object obtaining in any form, indicated by any word, is as it is, harmless. It is just there, which is Ishvara Srishtihi. And this appreciation of Srishti itself is possible only there is an experiencer, knower. So Srishtihi always involves two factors, the knower and the known, the experiencer and the experienced. There is experiencer, there's an individual being as an experiencer. There is an objective universe as a world of object of experience. This is Ishvara Srishtihi. So whatever he is Ishvara Srishtihi. And this Srishti involves duality. This Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam, this world of duality, involving the knower and the known, the knower, experiencer and the experienced, is beautiful, wonderful. It is does not involve, it's not responsible for any sorrow, nor can it really give any happiness. It is meant for enjoyment. It's meant for experience and enjoyment. And here, Vidyaranya Swami, recently we saw, discusses the Jiva Srishta Dvaitam. Can Jivas create anything? No. There's no such a thing called creation of Jiva outside. But still there is duality, world of duality created by Jiva also, individual being also. And what is that? Is what we experienced, we discussed last class. The perception of an external object results in the cognition of a given object. It's always a corresponding cognition. Whatever object is perceived outside, there is a corresponding cognition of the object in the mind, in the name of a thought. So the number of the plurality of objects perceived, actually, plurality of objects known outside are dependent on, is dependent on the plurality of the cognitions, the thoughts in the mind. So just the cognition of an object itself is not a problem. So whenever the object is perceived, external factors are perceived, there are corresponding cognitions, but those cognitions, those thoughts pertaining to those objects get mixed with one's own emotions, which are triggered when objects are perceived. Somehow the external objects are instrumental in triggering our own dormant latent emotions. The anger or fear or hatred or jealousy or greed. Even any emotions, any of these emotions which are naturally dormant, latent in our subconscious, they become triggered and they surface. It is these internally rising emotions which are otherwise called vasanaha or samskaraha, which we have accumulated from many lives. Somehow they have been there ultimate, even though we know very well they're all actually the products of ignorance. Ignorance is naturally there. As a result of ignorance, as a consequence of ignorance, we also have these emotions dormant as part of us individuals. And we cannot undo them. We cannot give up. We cannot get rid of them at all. That is why we use this expression bondage. We are bound. We are tied. We are held tightly. We're incapable of getting rid of them. We cannot just drop them, push them aside, lead them away, drive them away. No, we are helpless. That is why we call samsara bondage. They are tightly holding on to us. And they are in our subconscious. And they will resolve, Shastram says, they will resolve only when our perspective changes. Only when a clear vision of what is, the satyam, what actually is, becomes clear. When the clear vision of what is rises, what actually is absolutely, whatever is relatively there, the knower status is relatively there, the known world is relatively there, all the forms, names and functions which are experienced in five different forms through five different sense organs are all relatively there. Time is the relatively, space is the relatively, everything is there. We can't say nothing is here. There's no such a thing called non-existence at all. Everything is. There's only isness. There's no non-existence. There's only existence. Existence of forms, existence of names, existence of functions, existence of time, space, existence of the whole external world. There's only existence. And whatever is relatively there. And what is relatively here? What is there objectively, relatively, empirically real? Seems to be absolutely real as we're experiencing it. Unfortunately, we do not know what is actually, what is absolutely there. And because of this lack of vision of what is there absolutely, what actually is, so what seems to be there, what is relatively there, is mistaken to be what is absolutely there. And this, actually, even though what is there relatively, in no way is responsible for any problem we have. Not at all. That the external world is Nandanavanam, Nandavanam. That is why in Bhagavatam, the word Nandavanam is very quite often discussed. Explained. If we go to any Mahavishnu temple in India, we have Nandavanam. Brindavanam. We have Brindavanam in my village. I remember We go to temple. Krishna temple is my main temple for us. Venugopala Swami. Behind our temple, we have lots of tulsi plants. Lots and lots and lots of tulsi plants. And push, we have flowers. And we go in the morning, we pluck them, we pluck the flowers, we tie malas for Bhagavan. No? Then we have to see Bhagavan Tirumanjanam, Tirtha Prasadam, Thadari. One then had to come, we from bathroom had to go straight to the temple because we don't touch anything. And then come back. Okay, then we call it Nandavanam. I used to wonder why it's called Nandavanam. We, as a child, we only count it to Nanda, Nanda Gopa, Nanda Kumara, Krishna's father. But actually speaking, the whole Jagat is Nandavanam. The word Vanam also means Brahma. Vanyateti Vanam. When Pooja Swamiji named my ashram as Arshavidya Vanam in 2003, which I don't have now anymore, he called Arshavidya Vanam. The word Vanam means Brahma. The word comes in Kena Upanishad also. So, Nandavanam means, Nandaha means joy. The whole world is a world of joy, world of happiness. Why? Because this Dvaitam, amazing. There is a create, there is an experiencer, there is instrument, there are instruments of experience, there are abode of experience, and there's an object of experience. And this is a world of, it's a joy. So Nandavanam, it, the world is a world of joy. There's no, shoka hatam na, samastam lokaha shoka hataha, no. It is not true. There's only happiness, there's only joy, there's only peace, there's only fullness. This is Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam. But when do we mistake the world to be a world of, world responsible for my unhappiness? Then, it is not Ishvara Srishtam, it is Jiva Srishta Dvaitam. And that is said, the external world has nothing to do with our what we go through. It's all, there is a corresponding world which is there in our own Antahkaranam. So whatever is perceived outside, whatever is seen, heard, smelled, tasted, experienced outside is there in our mind, Mahavritti. Our interaction is only with this world, what is in the form of vritti. Our interaction is actually with the world, external, the world which is in the form of thoughts in our own mind. And those objects, the cognitions or thoughts pertaining to the external objects themselves are no problem. But when those thoughts get mixed with the emotions which are triggered in our own the mind, which surface from our own subconscious, they rise and they're mixed with those emotions. That is when these objects of thoughts really get modified, changed, and then our interaction with those modified, polluted objects in the form of thoughts, then that becomes Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam. So can we stop this? Can we stop, prevent this emotion which rises from our Antahkaranam, our subconscious? We cannot stop. They are there. Dormant, latent, as long as punyam is operating, they do not surface. When they do not surface, our interaction with the world is okay. We are in good moods and the world is okay and there's no problem. And we have, at least there's no pain. Temporarily, there's no pain. When our papam starts operating, that is when the subconscious is triggered and it surfaces and mixed with our thoughts. And then that's all. Then we are not in good moods. That is when our moods change. People say this person is very unstable, that person is very unstable. I tell you, everybody is unstable. Helplessly unstable. Why? That is when your creation alone is there in your perception, in your understanding. The real creation, Ishvara's creation is not there. Your creation comes. Jiva Srishta Dvaitam alone is there really. So Jiva, at least Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam itself is not absolutely real. And what about your Srishtam Dvaitam? Jiva Srishtam Dvaitam. Jiva Srishtam Dvaitam is not even objectively real. Not even empirically real. It is real only subjectively. It is Pratibhasikataya Sat. Pratibhasika Satta alone it has. It is purely the way you see the world. You see things. It is Pratibhasikam. It is not even Vyavaharikam. It doesn't have even Vyavaharika Satta. That's what we've been seeing. Let us read the verse. Maivam, verse 25. Maivam mam samayi yoshite. Kachidanyamanomai Mamsamaya Abhedepi Vidyate Himanomai. So we saw this verse last class. Vidyaranya Swami answers a specific doubt raised by an opponent, a Purvapakshi, in this verse. The answer, Vidyaranya Swami's answer is given in this verse. What was the objection raised and what is the answer given here? The Purvapakshi said, no, there is a woman who is perceived outside. Yoshit means woman. There is a woman who is perceived outside. And the same woman is seen in the mind. In the form of a thought, the cognition. The cognition of a woman pertinent to a woman who is outside alone is there. There's no difference in, that's what the Purvapakshi's opponents doubt. Then Vidyaranya Swami answers here, ma evam, not in this manner. Mamsamayi yoshitu kachitu yoshitu anya manomayi. There is a woman whose physical form which is outside, which is perceived, which is experienced. Is a mamsamayi yoshit. The woman in physical form, in flesh and bone, blood, she is perceived. With reference to the top woman, there's no change whatsoever, there's no difference. That woman does not differ for anybody. But where is the difference? Anya kachit, anya manomayi. The externally perceived, the female form is the same for all the people. She's just a woman, there's no change whatsoever happens in the part of the physical form of a woman. But how she is perceived, anya manomayi, there is a woman, the cognition, the form of that woman obtaining them of a thought, that manomayi, even though there's no difference on the part of the physical form, mamsamaya abhede api manomayi hi vidyate, whereas the cognition of a person perceived there in different minds, the cognitions pertaining to the woman are there. There, how you see, how each person sees the woman, relates to the woman, that is, there is difference. So difference is not outside, difference is in one's own mind. The difference in one's own mind means the difference is in the way we perceive our external object. Object is the same, that doesn't change, but how we perceive, different people perceive the same object, different ways, there is difference. That difference is only in our perception of the object. Difference is not on the part of the object. That is made very clear in this 25th verse, which already we saw. Which means, for a given person, the object which is outside is not, it is a source of happiness. For another person, the object is mistaken to be responsible for the unhappiness. For another person, it is neutral, it's neither a source of happiness nor is it, you know, responsible for one's unhappiness. For other person, for one person, it is valuable. For other person, it is not valuable. For other person, it is neither valuable nor useless. Let the people have their own view, perceptions of the same object. So these perceptions of different perceptions of one of the same object differs in different minds. There is difference. So manomayi bhidyate. Manomayi is what? Perception of the object. It differs. Which means whenever the perception of the object differs from person to person, the difference in perception of the object makes the object privatized, makes the object, you know, object of one's own world. Because the perceiver, the experiencer's values, experiencer's likes and dislikes, experiences vasanas, experiences habits and nature, all of them really change the object perceived in the mind, not outside. Therefore, the perception of the object becomes different. Therefore, definitely the manomayi vidyate, but not mamsamayi. What is outside in the physical form, in the form of, that doesn't differ, but perception of the same form differs in different minds, being mixed with different emotions and the problems of every individual mind, and so from, rising from subconscious. We saw, now let us see this next verse. Verse number 26. Bhranti swapna mano rajya smritishvastu mano mayam. Bhranti swapna mano rajya smritishvastu to manomayam jagranmanena meyasya na manomayam mayate ticet jagranmanena meyasya na manomayate ticet. If you break it, bhranti swapna mano rajya smritishu, smritishu. Astu, smritishu astu, manomayam. You have to break it. Bhranti swapna mano rajya smritishu astu, manomayam. Smritishu astu. Manomayam. ಎಂಡ್ ಸಂದಿದೆ. ಸ್ಮೃತಿಷು ಅಸ್ತು ಮನೋಮಯಂ ಜಾಗ್ರನ್ಮಾನೇನ ಮೇಯಸ್ಯ ನ ಮನೋಮಯತಾ ನ ಮನೋಮಯತಾ ಇತಿ ಚೇತ್. ದಿಸ್ ಹೌ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಟು ಬ್ರೇಕ್ ದ ವರ್ಸ್. ಓಕೆ, ಸೊ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಬಿಫೋರ್ ವಿ ಸಿ ಎವ್ರಿ ವರ್ಡ್ ನೌ ವಿದ್ಯಾರಣ್ಯ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮೇಡ್ ವೆರಿ ಕ್ಲಿಯರ್ because the Purvapakshi's first doubt was what is outside alone is what is inside. There's no difference in manomaya form or externally obtaining the physical form. And Vidyaranath made it very clear, no, definitely there's no difference on the part of the form which obtains outside. But difference is in the perceptions obtained of a thought pertaining to that object. In different minds, the different perceptions of one and the same object. And therefore, difference is in perceptions of the same object means why there's difference. Why can't one thing be perceived the same way by all of us, all the people? Because it is not possible to, sometimes we do perceive, that is when there is no problem. Sometimes we perceive the object differently. Not outside, in our mind we see the object, distorted object, changed, modified object. The object which is polluted, which is changed, modified by the mixing up of our own emotions. Our fear, our jealousy, our hatred, our anger. Our means what? The anger, hatred, fear, jealousy, etc. The emotions which are triggered from our subconscious, which surface, and they actually modify the object and they prevent us from seeing exactly what it is outside. We see only what the polluted, modified object. So my interaction is only with that object which is in my own mind, which I perceive it, which is mixed with my problems. Therefore, like that, different minds, the people see things differently. Everyone has the internal cognition of the same object, but that object which is modified in keeping with whatever the emotions one has. One person see, oh, he's a very nice person. That's added value. One person says he's a wrong person, he's a wicked. Like the different, we always mix the external object is mixed with our emotions. That is when it is changed. We saw already. He answered that. So difference is in manomaya, the object in our mind, not the object outside. But now, here in this verse, 26th verse, Bhrantya Swapna Manoraja Smritishu Astu Manomayam Jagranmanena Meyasya Na Manomayata Iti Chet. Here also again, the Purvapakshi, the opponent, actually comes with another doubt, another query. He says, okay, whatever forms are there in the form of thoughts in our mind, and the cognitions of the objects which are there in our mind, the perceptions of the objects which are there in our mind in the form of thoughts, actually constitute our own mental world of objects. So the objects, the perceptions of objects, cognitions of objects, obtaining in the form of thoughts in one's own mind constitute one's own world of, one's own internal world of objects. Internal world of objects, mental world of objects. even without even having an object, okay? He comes with it just now. Without even having an object outside, if a person can imagine an object, you really do not see an apple outside, but still you can think of an apple. From your memory, you can recollect. You can imagine an object. So even the imagined object also is what? An object of the mental world. There's no object outside, but you have imagined an object, which is also an object of your mind, which is also object of, you know, your mental world. Internal world, one's own subjective world of objects. Subjective, internal, mental world of objects can have its own objects. Just simply imagined objects also. There need not be an object outside. So, the Purabhakshi's doubt is, there is, if there is an object outside, externally, which is perceived by you through sense organ, how is it possible for us to say, talk, mention anything about the object in the mind? There is, if there is an external object, perceptibly there right in front of you, how can we say anything about the mental, the object obtaining in the form of a thought? How can we, why should we really say anything about the, why should we say anything about the object in your in the mind? Why can't we talk only about the world object and the object what's outside? Why should we talk about the object in the mind? There is an object outside. So, why should we talk about the object what is in the mind? Because we can also imagine the objects which are not outside. That is the answer, that we, it is possible for us to imagine objects in mind, in our own mind, which is not outside. Therefore, why should we talk about the objects in our mind? Why should we not simply see what is outside alone? That is his question. So he says, Bhranti Swapna Mano Rajya Smritishu. He gives many occasions, many different occasions. Bhrantihi means delusion or confusion. Bhrantihi is a feminine gender word which means Brahmaha. Brahmaha means mass, the same in Bhrantihi and Brahmaha. Not Brahma, okay? Brahmaha is a masculine gender word. And the feminine word of Brahmaha is Bhrantihi. So Bhrantihi, confusion. Whenever we are confused, we'll tell you later on. Okay, Bhrantihi, confusion. Then Swapnam. Okay, says Swapnam. A Swapna Prapancha. Swapnam. Swapnam means dream. But you can say here Swapna. Because it's a compound word. Bhrantihi. Visarga is not, I'm adding, okay? Bhrantihi. Swapnam. You know Swapnam, there's only Swapna in the word, then the verse. Swapna means, it's a, because it's one compound word, all these words are used. Bhrantihi, Swapnam. Swapnam is a dream. Then, Manorajyam. Manorajyam means what? One's own, no, one's own imagined world of objects. Imagined things, imagined objects. Objects of one's own imagination. One's own fancies constitute what? Manorajyam. Manorajyam means the objects which are one's own imagination or one's own fancies. We can say Manorajyam. Then he go next to verse is Smriti. Now Manorajyam I can also explain. Sometimes you sit and you really do not go anywhere. And you simply sit. What if it, that would happens? If this happens, it should be like this. Sometimes you even scheme, you plan, you know, how, where all you want to go, what all you should do. Even scheming and planning also becomes included in the, before you travel, or before you do something, before you're cooking, always something before you scheme and plan. There's also Manorajyam only. Okay, today I'm going to make this sambar. I'm going to cook this rice. I'm going to pack this for lunch for children. I'm going to do this tomorrow. Like that, you plan the whole day, you organize. You plan what you're going to do tomorrow, what you're going to do the weekend, what you're going to do like this. Even planning and scheming beforehand what you're going to do also constitute what? Manorajyam. You may do as per as you have planned. You may not be able to do also as you have planned. This is called what now? So, Manorajyam. Okay, have one's own objects or imagined objects or visualized objects or scheming, etc. No, implied by the word Manorajyam. Then, Smriti. Smriti means memory. Memory means what? Remembering or remembrance of all those many situations and events and incidents and accidents, what happened in your previous, the whole life, the present life, is Smriti. Because you cannot remember what happened past life. Smriti is always of incidents, situations, experiences of one's present life. In past events, but in present life. So Smriti. So these are all now Bhranti, Swapna, Manorajya, Smriti. For all of them actually, in all these, if we take confusion, situation of being confused, if we take the situation of, dream, we take the situation of planning and scheming or imagining one's own things, and even remembering things, entertaining in memory, remembering, recollecting the past events, etc. In all these situations, there are only objects which are in the mind. Okay, there are no corresponding objects outside in the external world. When you're confused, in confusion, you see something in your mind, isn't it? That is not outside. What is outside? Similarly, when you're dreaming, the dream world of objects is only in your mind, not outside. So you're imagining or scheming or planning, they're also not outside, only in your mind. When you recollect your past events in memory, then also only thoughts, objects are in your mind, not outside. So he gives all these possible situations when objects are only in the mind, not outside. He says them. So Manomayam, okay, Bhranti Swapna Manorajya Smritishu Manomayam Astu. He says, I can understand in all these conditions, whatever the water forms, names and functions, whatever we entertain in the form of thoughts, all in only in the mind. There is no corresponding external world of objects of my confusion. My confusion is only in my mind. My dream is in the mind. And whatever I fanciful ideas and things, whatever I'm scheming and planning is all in my mind. What I'm imagining is all in my mind. So what I recollect, the past events, they're all in my mind. All Manomayam. Manomayam means what? All of them are only in the form of, in the world of mind. Confused, the situations and objects perceived in confusion are in my mind. The dream is in my mind. It's all manomayam. I have no doubt. I'm Purapakshi is still talking. Okay. I'm 100% clear. They're all in my mind. Bhranti, Swapna, Bhrantihi, Swapnam, Manorajyam, Smriti. In all these situations, conditions, whatever I see, they're all in the mind alone. Manomayam astu. There's no doubt. But what he says, Jagran manena meyasya na mano mayata iti. All these are all alone in the mental world of, these are the objects experienced and perceived and seen only in these conditions or in the form of thoughts in one's own mind. Whereas Jagran manena meyasya na manomayata. Jagran manena means what? The person who is awake in the jagradavastha, in waking state. The person is, when he person is awake, in the waking state, when the person is awake, manena meyasya. Manam means of knowledge. Manam here means pramanam. Jagran manena means in a waking state, a person who is awake for him, manena, through the direct means of perception. Manena means with direct means of perception. My own means of direct means of perception. Manena. Meyasya. Meyam means object of perception. Manam is instrument of perception. Meyam means object of perception. Manena meyasya means the external object which is available for direct perception, means of perception. Direct perception. The means of knowledge called perception. Then that object, the object which is outside, which is physically present and which is perceived directly through my perception in the waking state, that object, how can we say that object has no manomayata? Manomayata na. Iti chet. What is direct right in front of me and which is perceived through my sense organs directly, and that object has no manomayata. That object is not in the mind. That object has no status of being the mental object. See, the question will be clear only when you understand Vijayavanya Swami's answer. The question itself will not be clear for you. So, Jagran manena meyasya manomayata na iti chet. Manomayata na iti chet. The chet means if. Na manomayata iti. for an object which is perceived directly through sense organ, there is no status of being an object in the mind. There is no such a thing called mentalness attributed to that object. So Vidyanathaswami gives answer. Listen to the answer for the question to become clear. Okay. The question will not be clear until you listen to the very answer. So Vidyanathaswami has really carefully answers this problem. You know, there is a way how the perception is in the mind. How the object obtaining in the mind, the form of an object obtaining in of a thought, how is it formed? The form of an object obtaining in of a thought is called manasa vishayaha. Manasa vishayaha means what? Object of your thought perception. Object of thought. Object obtaining in the form of a thought. Object which is perceived and cognized is called manasa vishaya. Not indriya vishaya, but manasa vishaya. What you perceive outside is indriya vishaya. If we say there is light, there is sun outside, this is indriya vishaya. Indriya gocharaha, indriya vishayaha. Well, somebody is speaking, this is indriya vishaya, bahya vishaya. Well, somebody is laughing, it's indriya vishaya, indriya gochara. Well, this food, this laddu is very sweet, it is indriya vishaya, bahya vishaya. Indriya vishaya. So like that, this color is red, it is indriya vishaya. Whereas, there's a corresponding manasa vishayaha. There's a corresponding manasa vishaya. That is object of perception, obtaining in the form of a thought, corresponding object of perception, obtaining in the form of a thought. Which is called manasa vishaya. Differentiate the indriya vishaya and manasa vishayaha. See, now I'm just explaining Vidyanathaswami's answer in order to understand the question properly. Okay. So there's a indriya vishayaha, there is a manasa vishayaha. Now Vidyanathaswami first makes attempts to really clarify the mechanism of mental object. Vidyanathaswami really clarifies the mechanism of the mental object called manasa vishayaha. Mental object means the object per se obtaining in the form of a thought. The cognition or perception of an object obtaining in the form of a thought is what a manasa vishaya. And then Swami clarifies the mechanism of that manasa vishaya, mental object. If a perception has to happen, there must be formation of the image. The image has to be formed in mind. Image of an extent, image of an object has to be formed. First of all, image of an object has to form in one's own mind, in everyone's mind. In order for the perception to take place. So perception itself is perception of an object is possible only when the image of an object is formed in the mind. So whatever object is there, whatever objects are there, you know, in front of us, whatever objects, there may be many objects. You may see trees, you may see leaves, you may see houses, you may see so many objects right in front of you. But the form, the image of that object has to be formed in one's mind first. Only then perception of that object takes place. Unless and until image is formed, perception of the object cannot happen. Sometimes we may be keeping our eyes open. We are not sleeping. We are awake. We are wide awake. We are seeing things. We are also hearing things. It means our sense organs are all open. There are objects outside, but still no perception takes place. No perception takes place. Whenever you walk in front of somebody who is known to you, and when you are in a hurry, you're walking fast, and the person comes and literally dashes, but still you don't even say hello to the person. Don't even know the person is in front of you. The known person who's very close friend of you, walks in front of you, but you don't even see. Very closely you're walking, you don't see, you are walking. Other person sees, oh, this person, why she's not even talking to me? Why is she not saying hello to me? This person is walking like this. She's in a hurry, she or he is in a hurry, do something. So preoccupied, the person is walking. So eyes are open, eyes are not closed. The person, you are seeing the person, but still you're not saying hello to the person. Why? Because there's no perception of the person. The object in front of you, you are not perceiving the object which you are seeing right in front of you. Why you are not, there's no perception of the object you are seeing in front of you? Because the image of that form is not formed in your mind. So image of that external object must be there. The formation of image must be there first. Only then perception of that, you know, object is possible. So perception of an object presupposes formation of an object in the mind. Formation of what? Image formation of a given object must be there. So perception presupposes the image formation of that object. So you can 100% be clear, without the image formation, perception of the object is not possible. If the image of that given object, image of the object is actually mental, manasa vishaya. So without the manasa vishaya, in terms of image of a given form, okay, image is not there, then perception of that object is not possible. What is not perceived is as good as non-existent. So if the image doesn't get formed, image of the form doesn't get formed, is there, is not there, the perception doesn't take place, that object is as good as non-existent. Therefore, for perception, always mental image of a given object is important. Now, whenever such images of objects, or any image of a given object is formed, then there is experience, the perception of the object is there. When perception takes place, then experience of that object is possible. Then experiment, you see this object is. So first you see a tree. Okay, you're just seeing the tree. Immediately don't see the tree. Your eye, the sense organs perceive the object. The see. You will see the object outside. But immediately, eyes are wide open, but no perception can take place. There is an image of the tree form. Image of the tree form must be there. The tree image must be there in the mind. Then perception of the tree image is possible. The perception of the tree image is possible. Then there's experience of the tree that there is a tree. Then there's a jnana, cognition. There's a jnana. There's a tree. Otherwise, the tree is, but for you, the tree doesn't exist. Amazing. It's very, very important to understand. Therefore, always experience is only of the image obtaining in the image in your mind, not the external object. We experience whenever we say we experience in a given object, any object we experience, please remember, we experience the image of the object, the image of an object. Then we say the object is. We never really experience the objects which are there in the world. So our experience of images in the mind alone actually proves the existence of the external world of objects. So experience, perception presupposes the image formation. So we never experience the world of objects outside. We only experience the world of objects in our own mind, in the form of images. Suppose if we take this example, the very famous example is what? Rope and the snake example. There is a rajjuhu outside. There is a rope outside. But what happens? What is the image you form in your mind? The image of the object outside. The image that is formed in your mind, image formed in your mind is not of the rope, but of the snake. Why? How is it possible such an image happen? It is possible. That is another problem that we'll see later on. But first, when you see the rope outside, we are not experiencing the rope immediately as it is. It is a proper, isn't it? We are only experiencing the image. The experience is always of the image, not of the external object. But then the image what is formed is in your mind is not of the rope, but of the snake. The image of the object formed in your mind is snake image. Then what happens? And we perceive, there is a perception of the snake. What a perception is of the snake is there, and we experience a snake. Okay? Therefore, we experience a snake. That is why when we perceive the snake, when we experience the snake, that snake experience and perceived is what of an image which is in your own mind. Your own world created, your own mind created object. Your own personal privatized world of the privatized object. Everybody else sees it as rope and you see it as snake. And you see what you experience as snake. Then, if you do not experience the snake, you only experience the rope there. What does it mean? There is a rope image. What is outside is the rope. And if you have a rope image in your mind, this image of the rope is formed in your mind. Then there's a perception of the rope is possible. Then experience of the rope is possible. In response to that, what you perceive will be different. Rope is there. Then you will not, there won't be fear, there won't be any anxiety, there won't be running. Then there will be screaming. The response on the part of a person who just sees, experiences only the rope as a rope, has no problem. Response is very different. Whereas the person, even though what is outside is the rope, the person, the image that image formed of that object is with a snake, and that image is perceived as a snake, and then there is experience is of the snake, and then the response to that snake is completely different. You scream, you shout, you are frightened, you are threatened, and you are shivering, you are sweating, there's a fear. That is, then it's not even respond, the reaction is very different. Therefore, completely different way of seeing things. So, image of the object formed in your mind is the manomaya vishaya, the internal object. And here, what disturbs you is not the rope which is actually outside. What disturbs you, what causes the fear in you is the image of the rope in the form of a snake, which is perceived as a snake, which experienced as a snake alone, causes the problem, fear in you. Listen, the experience of fear again. Therefore, the external object in no way causes any disturbance. The external object is not at all responsible for any worry, any problem. It is what is internally perceived as a result of the formation of the image. The image is formed, then the image alone is perceived. How the image is formed, how it is perceived, and then the experience of what is perceived results in chaos. Okay? And this is how the Jiva Srishta Dvaitam has to be understood. Now, what was his question? Now, let me go back to the question of Bhranti Swapna Mano Rajya Smriti Vastu Smriti Shu Astu Manomayam. Jagran Manena Meyasya Na Manomayata Iti Chet. He says the question, now you can understand the question very well. Do you get to understand the question now? He also tells us, all these are in my mind. Dream is in my mind. Dream has manomayata, not dream is not indriya vishaya. Dream is manovishaya. Confusion is anything which is seen, experienced in confusion is a manovishaya, not indriya vishaya. Memory is manovishaya, not indriya vishaya. So smriti, bhranti, swapna are all mano vishayas I can understand. So also, in waking state, what is experienced, what is perceived outside, which is object which is outside, which is Indriya Vishaya, it can be Manovishya also. Why can't it be a Manovishyaha? Why is it said the external world is not perceived as it is in your mind? Why do you say that? It is Shastram says no, the external world is never perceived as it is in our mind. The Purapakshi's question is, why is it said the external world is not perceived as it is? That is the question. Why is it said the external world is not perceived as it is? Why is it said that there's difference in perception of the world? The different perceptions are the one and the only object outside. Why is it said there is difference in perceptions of the world? Why is it said that the external world is not perceived as it is in the mind? This is the question of a Purvapakshi. Why is it said the external world is not perceived as it is in the mind? How do you say that? Then how is it possible for perceptions to be different? Why perceptions are different? Why external world is not perceived? Why external world is not experienced? That's the question. Vidyananda makes it very clear. No, whatever is experienced is whatever is perceived. And whatever is perceived is the only perceived is the whatever image is formed. Three things now you have to remember. Whatever image is formed in the mind, that formed image alone is perceived. And whatever is perceived alone is experienced. Therefore, the external world is never perceived, never experienced. What is internally, the internally formed image alone is perceived and experienced. If the image formed in the mind tallies with what object outside, then there is no problem. The image formed tallies the object outside, then the same image is perceived, the same image is experienced. Then what is experienced inside and tallies with what is outside, then there's no problem. But what happens most of the times, what is outside is different. The image of what is outside, image of the object what is outside formed in the mind is different. The perception is of the image formed in the mind, not of the externally, what is externally there. Therefore, what is experienced is only of the perceived object, perceived image. The experience is of the perceived image in the mind. The experience is not of the external object or external world. Is it clear? I made it very clear. Have you understood the question first?
Yes, Swami, it's very clear now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, this is the lesson. So, whenever now any problem comes, the problem is purely caused by sorrow, grief, pain, jealousy, hatred, anger, unhappiness, unpleasantness, fear, anxiety is all what now? Jiva Srishta Dvaitam. Jiva Srishta Dvaitam. The duality, creation of the individual jiva in one's own mind. So, the experience is always of the perception, what is perceived. And perceived, the perception is always of the image formed of an object. So, without the formation of the image, perception of an object is not possible. Without the perception, there is no experience possible. And the form object outside sometimes becomes an instrumental limitum for the image to be formed because of our own problems. Suppose your own emotions from your subconscious do not surface, then the image formed will be distortion free image. Then perception will be of the distortion free right image. The experience will be of the same image. Like there's a rope outside, there's a rope image is there. There's a formation of a rope image. Then you perceive the rope, you experience the rope. The second rope is no, you respond to be different. Rope is, but the image formed is of the snake. Then the experience is of the snake, and snake is. Then fear. This is called. Now this is how we create our own privatized, subjective world of duality. Jiva Srishta Dvaita Prapancha. Okay, we'll go to next verse. Badham mane tu meyena. Badham mane tu meyena. Yagat syad vishayakritihi. The yogatsya vishayakritihi badhammane tu meyena yogatsya vishayakritihi yogatsya vishayakritihi bhashyavartikakarabhyam ayamarthavudiritah bhashyavartikakarabhyam ayamarthavudiritah. So in this 27th verse, Vidyanaya Swami really brings Shankaracharya and also Sureshwaracharya to our for his explanation. So here he says, let us see the meaning of these words first. First, see the words badham, badham. Meyena, sorry, manetu meyena. Yogat syad mane tu meyena yogat syat vishaya akritihi. Vishaya akritihi. Badham mane tu meyena yogat syat vishaya akritihi. Vishaya akritihi. Bhashya vartika karabhyam ayam arthaha udiritaha. Bhashya vartika karabhyam ayam artha udiritaha. See, mane tu meyena yogat syad vishayakritihi. See, vishayakritihi means form, akriti, appearance of the forms. Vishaya means objects. Vishayakritihi means appearance of the objects. Vishayakritihi syat. There is a world of objects. Vishayakritihi. When it is said in a waking state. So, mane tu meyena yogat. When they said the means of perception, the instruments of knowledge come in contact with the objects of knowledge. Mane tu meyena yogat. Meyam means object of knowledge. Object of perception. Object is called mayam. Manam means instrument of knowledge. Mane tu mayena yogat. When, see this saptati saptami, when the instrument of perception, an instrument of knowledge, comes in contact with the object of knowledge. Mane tu mayena yogat. Whenever the instrument of perceptions come in contact with the corresponding objects of perception, then Vishayakritihi Syat. Definitely, there is appearance of objects in the mind. Appearance of objects in the mind means what? There is a world seen, created in the mind. There is an external world of objects. And that when the sense organs do not come in contact with the external world of objects, do you have your own world created in your mind? No. Jiva Srishta Dvaitam is not possible when the Ishara Srishta Dvaitam is not there. Suppose in deep sleep state, when you're fast asleep, sense organs are not in contact with the external world of objects. Then the perception doesn't take place, isn't it? Then the world doesn't exist for you. That time, you cannot create your own world also. Jiva Srishta Dvaitam is not possible independently without the Ishara Srishta Dvaitam. You have to be awake. There must be waking state and there must be perception. There must be external world of objects. And the sense organs have to come in contact with their corresponding objects. Only then there is a creation of one's own world in the mind is also possible. The subjective world of duality, privatized world of duality is possible only when there is external world. So, manetu meyena yogat means whenever the sense organs come in contact with the respective objects, then vishayakritihi syat. That is the corresponding or same equally. Okay. There's a parallelly, there is one's own internal privatized world created. Parallelly, the external world, which is Ishara Srishta Dvaitam. And when sense organs come in contact with those objects, world of objects, parallelly, there is another world created in one's own mind, and which is not Ishara Srishtam, which is privatized, subjective world of your own creation. Vishayakritihi syat means parallelly another internal subjective world of duality is created. And which is, now you know how it is, isn't it? Which is called Jiva Srishta Dvaita Prapanchaha. Which one is said to be the world of duality created by individual. So first line says, bottom, after bottom, his bottom is actually arm, yes. Mane tu meyena yogat vishayakritihi means once and what does it say? It says there's always, whenever, only in waking state, you create a world of subjective, your own world of, privatized world of duality, you create only in waking state, only when your sense organs come in contact with the corresponding objects of the external world, which is Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam. Only in experiencing Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam, Jiva Srishta Dvaitam also is possible. And he says, Bhashya Vartika Karabhyam, I am Arthaha Udiditaha. Before I go to that, okay, Ishvara Srishti is happening, which is not, our will is not used there. But for me to create my own private world of duality, okay, whenever there is Ishvara Srishta Dvaitam, then there is a, parallelly there is a Jiva Srishta Dvaitam in my own mind. Now, what causes it? And Vijayana Swami says, it is, actually, we're going to see that later on. It is our prarabdha karma phalam. Okay? Our prarabdha karma alone really has takes an important place. The prarabdha karma is comes into the picture here. Why? Why should I create a hell for myself? Even though Jiva Srishta Nandavanam, Bhagavan's creation is Nandavanam, the world of joy, why should I create a hell? Just because of distorted images, just because of the formation of distorted images in my mind, perceiving those wrong images, distorted images, and experiencing those images, why should I create a hell in my own mind? What is it contributes for this creation of hell? My own mind, the duality, this Jiva Srishta, this, the world of duality created by myself, you know, is what? What is that? It is, what contributes for such a thing? Prarabdha karma alone has important place here. See, whatever, we don't see the whole world as it is. We can't, you can never see with the limited, with the limitations of sense organs, with our own limitations of our mind. How can we perceive the whole world? We can never perceive, whenever our sense organs can never come in contact with the world in its entirety. Always a small segment of the world, a tiniest of the portion of the world alone, we come in contact with through our senses. So the small portion, the smallest segment of the world, which is perceived in one's mind, why I only come in contact with these people, these situations, why? You know, the tiniest segment of the world which I come in contact with is purely dependent on the karma, prarabdha karma I have. Karma phalam I have. I mean what? Prarabdha karma phalam one has. Which portion of the world? Who are the people who I associate with? Where are the places I live? What are the things I associate with? Who are my acquaintances? Tiny little world. Swamiji always used to say, There are 10 significant people in your life. The world, your own world become only 10 significant people. How big is your world? It's so tiny, you're nobody there in the world. How big are you in the world? The world is so huge. So huge. And your world is only of 10 people. Not even 10 sometimes. One or two. My God. That's the worst thing. You know? Emotionally getting entangled with one person. You know, the always when people worry about the failure and love and all, then Swami, oh my God, what a waste of life it is. One person becomes your world. Your privatized world, one person is occupies the whole mind. Rama, Swami said, Rama. Sometimes people come for counseling. என்னமோ பேசிண்டே இருக்கு காலம் பிறந்து ஒன்னும் சரியாகல இன்னும் அது சரி திருத்தல சாப்பிட அழிச்சுன்னு போமா அப்படி சம்டைம்ஸ் பீப்புள் கம் வித் கன்ஃபியூஷன்ஸ் அண்ட் தேல் பி சிட்டிங் தேர் கம் நோ இஸ் ஆல் இமேஜின் ஃபார் மகாத்மா சுவாமிஜி அண்ட் யூ நோ வித் வித் லாட் ஆஃப் கம்பேஷன் லைக் அ சைல்டு ஈவன் கிரோன் அப் பர்சன் கவுன்சிலிங் டைம் And he has to see everything objectively and then guide. Now what I want to say here. We can never, with the limited mind, with the limitation of sense organs, we can never perceive the whole world. How much do we perceive? How much do we come in contact with in this world? Tiniest portion of the world. A smallest segment of the world. Very few people in the world alone we associate with. Isn't it? And those, the tiniest world goes inside and it can create what? And you have your own distorted version of what is outside. And the few people whom you associate with, the few which you associate with, the few places where you're connected to, what you're connected to, that alone is going inside. And there, in your mind, your Jiva Srishta Dvaita Prapancha is only or sometimes only one person or two people or about one house, sometimes one lunch, one meal. This becomes a very important thing for us. You know, it goes always distorted version of what is outside. Is your mental image, which is your perception, which is your experience, and which is your conclusion, and that is how you create your own hell. So, and what cause? Why only that small segment of the world? Why not some other world? Why this world? Why only this segment of the world? Why only this portion of the world? Why these are the people? Why this is the place? Why? And that is where prarabdha karma comes into the picture. The prarabdha karma which determines your coming in association and contact with the tiniest segment of the world. Whether people or place or relationships, work and money and livelihood, everything. It's all your prarabdha karma. Determines which part of the world, who are in this world become my associates. That is determined by prarabdha karma phalam. Therefore, Mane tu me yena yogat means whenever the mind and all our sense organs, the instruments of perception, come in contact with the corresponding objects, then immediately, parallelly, there is what now? The formation of images of the world of objects. There is formation of images of the external world of objects. It's called Vishayakritihi. Vishyakriti means the formation of images of the external world immediately happens. Then what do? We only perceive those images. We only experience those images. Then we dwell up only upon that. And that is how we create our own world of duality. So here, Vidyarana Swami quotes, wants to say, Bhashya Vartika Karabhyam, Ayam Arthaha Udhirtha. This teaching, Vidyarana Swami says, it is not my own story. You can easily say, it is not my own story. Vidyarana Swami wants to make it clear whatever I am teaching here is from my teacher. Bhashyakara, Adishankara Bhagavad Pada, Vartikakara Sureshwara Acharya. What they have already clarified, I am only reproducing what has been already clarified by Bhashyakara Shankara and Vartikakara Sureshwara. Ayam Arthaha means what? This being the world of duality created by an individual. This is Udhiritaha, already it has been stated clearly by both Adishankara Bhagavad Pada Bhashyakara and also Sureshwara Acharya Vartikakara. And so there is a theory of perception. Vishaya Drishti Vada. The theory of perception. And Adishankara Bhagavad Pada also, Bhagavad Pada and Sureshwara Acharya, both of them definitely discuss this theory of perception. That is, how the external world of objects becomes privatized, internalized, and become subjective. How the objective universe gets converted into subjective universe. How the external world becomes internalized. How what is actually gets privatized. That is very clearly. So Vartikam means a commentary upon the commentary. Commentary upon commentary is called Vartikam. And Sureshwara Acharya is the one who has commented upon Adishankara Bhagavad Pada's commentary. Commentary is called Bhashyam. So Shankara Bhagavad Pada is Bhashyakaraha, the writer of the commentary. And Sureshwara Acharya, disciple of Adishankara Bhagavad Pada, is the author of the commentary upon the commentary. He is called Vartika Karaha. And here, there are many commentaries, many Vartikani written by Sureshwara Acharya. So Shankaracharya wrote so many Bhashyams. And even Shankaracharya's Kritis also, not just Shankaracharya's Bhashyams, even Shankara Bhagavad Pada's own works, like Prakarana Granthas, etc., for which Vidyarana Swami Sureshwara Acharya has written many commentaries, which are all known as Vartikani. And both of them, he doesn't say how they explain, but he says very clearly, this, how Jiva Srishta Dvaitam is there, how, what is the world of duality killed by the Jiva is actually explained clearly in the theory of perception of discussed by Shankaracharya and Sureshwara Acharya. So whatever is said in the commentary, correctly said or unclearly said, everything has to be clarified again by the person who writes Vartikam. Whatever is said properly or whatever is left in commentary, all those things have to be clarified in another commentary upon the commentary. So that is why Suresh Acharya is also much equally famous. And this, and both of them very clearly present this fact, how the samsara of the jiva, the suffering of an individual, is purely because of one's own privatized, internalized world of duality. And how is it formed? It's also said, the external world is never experienced as it is. External world is always experienced, a distorted version of the external world alone is perceived. And the external world distorted is perceived, you know, in the form of images of the external world created in one's own mind. Therefore, first of all, there's images created in the one's own mind. Image of the external object is created, and that image is not as it is. It's always influenced, afflicted, affected, changed by because of the mixing up of one's own emotions. The disturbed image alone is perceived, and what is perceived alone, what is experienced, and there comes the world of duality of a jiva. And this is what is already explained. Ayam Arthaha means this. This is how Jiva Srishta Dvaitam he explained in the light of the theory of perception discussed by those two acharyas. I mean, they very clearly say how the external world is internalized during the perception. The sense organs come in contact with their objects. Is it clear now?
What is Udiritaha, Swamini?
Udiritaha Uktaha. Ir Dhatu. Udiritaha means participle, which means Uktam.
Okay.
Udiritaha means Uktam. Shankaracharyena Uktam. Suracharyena Uktam. So Shankaracharyena, Sureshacharyena, Dvabhyam api uktam. Udiritam ityukte uktam ityartaha.
Thank you, Swami.
So always when you want to make your, what you want to teach authentic, always quote elders. Vidyayani Swami does the same. He quotes his, Suresh Acharya and also Shankara. He doesn't even quote them. He doesn't even say. He says what they have already said. He is not presenting what they are saying. They have already made it very clear. Therefore, he says this is how Dvaita Prapancha is created by one's own. This is how the Jiva's world of duality is created. We'll continue next class. Hope you understood the question today. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.